Today is a fantastic day in the life of the church. Beautiful things have come together. Today we celebrate, as we just heard, the entrance of our Lord Jesus Christ as an infant into the Holy Temple. And Simeon, the holy man, knew that Jesus was just not another human being. And this is why when he saw him, he said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have brought forth before all nations." And that indicated that Christ was more than another human being. I had the occasion last night to, just for a moment, mention the fact that Christ does not try to hide anything from us. He gives to us every piece of information to fill the history that he has created about himself. Even from the book of Psalms, we read, "Εκαστρός προεσφόρο γέννησάσαι, όμως ο Κύριος και ού μεταμεληθήσετε, σιερεύσεις τον αιώνα κατά την τάξην Μελχισεδέκ." From the womb before Lucifer, I begot you. God the Father is talking to God the Son. From the womb, meaning he didn't create him. That's why we call the Son the eternal Word of God. Before Lucifer, who was Lucifer? Lucifer is the reason why evil has covered this earth and much larger portions of God's creation. The greatest of all of God's angels. And he fell in love with his charisma, his beauty, his power. Much like people today in the political arena of our nation, a nation that brought forth the best democratic constitution, and they're spitting all over it. Our Lord gave to us all the information we need to know who he is. And as I inferred last night, I mentioned in the book of Genesis, God told Satan, "The day is coming when the sperm of the woman shall strike your head." There was no guessing game. And today, we hear of Simeon. And what a beautiful statement Simeon made. After he saw Jesus, he said, "I'm ready to leave this life. I've seen perfection. Lord, now let your servant depart according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have brought forth before all nations, a light to lighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel." And it's surprising, whenever we have a Vesper service, the bishop usually says that, not that he's waiting to leave this planet, but that it's part of the perfection of the information coming from our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we honor Simeon because Christ as an infant is celebrated. And as Christ is celebrated as an infant, this holy parish is being celebrated also as an infant. Because St. Anna lived during the Old Testament period, the mother of the Theotokos. And as I mentioned last night, what a beautiful name that you people brought forth, because I asked you to decide, and you did. A magnificent, magnificent, full of prophecy decision, bringing us back to how and when the church began on the day of Pentecost. And as we study the life of Orthodoxy down through the ages, the church has always been attacked. There's never been a time when the church was not attacked. Never, never. Even during the last Mideast situation, when our politicians in Washington did not know that the Muslims had two factions, the Sunni and the Sunni and the
Shia.
What? I thought somebody said it. That's right. They were divided, fighting each other, much like the Democrats and the Republicans. When our troops left Syria and Iraq, the Muslims started killing Christian children, beheading children of Christian families. And on one occasion, they did not, the news media did not bother to put that they used the head of a little Christian boy as a ball, and they were playing soccer with the heads of the other boys. But the fact of the matter remains that the church is here to stay no matter what. And St. Paul says it beautifully when he said, when sin abounds in the world, the grace of God abounds even more. God does not leave us unprotected. But many times we neglect to call upon him and to ask him for assistance. This parish, from the day it began, has been full of the joy of our Lord. Of all the parishes I visited all over the country, the joy I've seen here, I have seen nowhere else. Aside for a little confusion this morning, it's not your fault, choir. I will use the usual phrase, palifteo papas, which means what? It's a priest's fault. Do I get angry? Why should I? Life is too short. I like to smile without laughing. The fact of the matter is that God is a God of joy also. People don't know that. I refer to one place in John's Gospel. John knew Christ better than anyone. He was the youngest of the 12. You want to know what our Lord said? You find it in John's Gospel. He was resurrected. He, 3 years, he gave all kinds of signs. Excuse me. He raised people from the dead. He healed a man born blind. Another man, he probably just had one eye or something, and he just touched him, and the other eye came back too. He did all kinds of healings. He brought children back from the dead. And he said more than once, the Father and I are one. And I like to tell Sunday school kids, it's very simple, but there's truth in it. I asked some Sunday school kids, can you think? Yeah, I can think. Can you speak? Yeah, I can speak. Can you do things? Yeah, I can do things. Are you three people or are you one person? Now, that may be simplistic, but it's real, you know? And so we put a fence around God, and we really don't realize that the power that he has and the fact that he doesn't get angry. After he rose from the dead, Cleopas and Luke were walking to a town, and there he appeared behind them. Why are you so sorry? Haven't you heard? No, what? And they talked about Christ. They were talking about him. And he said, he didn't say you dummies. He said, don't you remember what you heard the last 3 years? But when he said, no, what? That's what tells me that God loves a joke. And I use a joke once in a while. Not a bad one. A one that I think he believes and loves, accepts. And so this is, you have captured, whether you know it or not, the joy of Orthodox Christianity. As I said last night briefly, Orthodox Christianity, there's no punishment of any kind. God does not punish. Agape love does not punish. Agape love is eternal. Whatever God gives, he never takes back. But I like to tell people, when I visit other parishes, not necessarily this one, I tell people I do not proselytize. What do I mean? I don't try to make people Orthodox Christians if they're not, because I'm sinning. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave to every human being intellect and free will. Our free will from God is a gift. I have no right to interfere with God's gift in the mind and in the heart of one of his icons. Because then, why would Christ say, do you believe who I am? Do you believe I can do this? He's asking for an expression of the free will. He doesn't want clones in his kingdom. And we have to realize that. You know it, but no one has explained it to you probably as I am trying to do today. And so the fact of the matter is that you are growing more rapidly than I have ever seen any church grow. And I've been at it a few years. I don't count that high. And so I'm looking forward. This is in itself a miracle. I'm sure you agree with me. God bless all of you who did this and brought this, because I saw the property before you touched it. You did a fantastic job. I know it's temporary. I won't argue with you. But the way our tradition is, our people love to build churches according to the tradition, to tell God, we give to you nothing but the best. And that's what is going to be here also. I don't want you to rush. I want you to do a good job on the next phase. But don't go too slow. I still want to be around. I want to see the real thing. But it is really something. And I like to add a little bit more of what I said last night, that we are in the last days. We truly are in the last days. And our Lord says in John's Gospel, because the disciples were worried that he was leaving, and he told them that he was sending the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was going to be with him until even to the day when he returned. But he said, many things will happen that never happened before he returns. If we believe we have seen terrible things in these last days, I don't want to give any negative feelings among you, but we should have the mentality to know that the evil one is still active. His time is short, and this is why he's going to do the worst that he can to pull people away from eternal life and the coming kingdom. The Lord says things will happen in the last days that never happened before, nor will they ever happen again. But then the final sign that he says, there will be signs in the heavens. So if you have all these prophets coming around and giving dates of when the Lord's returning and the so-called rapture, there's no such thing as rapture in the Holy Bible. I don't know what the heck it is. They say the rapture's coming, which means all people who are alive are going to just float up into the air when the Lord returns, and all who are not with the Lord will be suffering down here below. That's made-up theology. And yet many of our Protestant friends believe this. This started in the 1830s in Scotland. And unfortunately, it's not true. And as I believe I said last night, that our orthodoxy has kept handwritten manuscripts until 100 years ago. We never had anything printed. Now that we have the Holy Bible printed, and there are many mistakes in it. And I think last year probably, I mentioned the one that bothers me the most, but I'm not going to touch it because I have bishops who are higher than me, and they're going to say, it was none of your business to try to change that. It was our responsibility, or something like that. So anyway, I'm very patient. My mother taught me to be patient. I'll just say that. I'm digressing now. I was a teenager, one of four children. My mother never got angry. She was at the kitchen doing something. And I was kind of going back and forth. And she saw I was nervous. She looked at me very calmly. And she said in Greek, of course, Ti viazese se kratusa inia minis. What's your hurry? I carried you for 9 months. I never forgot that, and I have never been in a hurry. Never. And so the fact of the matter is that everything that we need for salvation is before us. Now, what the signs in the heavens will be, I do not know. But if you hear people saying the Lord came, the rapture's here, and he's taking people away, forget it. That's nonsense. It's not going to happen that way. And so we'll see what the heavenly signs are. And then, of course, we will see signs of the return of the Lord to gather his people. And so I pray to you to pray to the Lord for me that I will be with you more than once again in the oncoming future, because you give joy to my heart when I come with upon you. You do have the love of the Holy Spirit. That's why you are who you are. Continue to do what you are doing, because people are seeing it and people are saying, look how much they love God. That's the way the church grew. There was no Sunday school system for 2,000 years. It just started. But the non-Christians used to say, look the way they love each other. They help each other in various things. And so continue to do what you're doing. My prayers are with you. Don't ever believe that your work is finished, because it is not finished. As long as we are in the world, we continue to grow spiritually, because our ultimate goal is to be in the heavenly realm, where we'll be one day. As long as we keep loving the Lord and knowing that he's always there to help us, But if God's going to help us, I know, I've said it before, if you want God to help you, you've got to talk to him. I need your help. Everyday language. The Lord says it. I don't say it. He says, close yourself up in your room and tell the Lord what you want. And it's going to happen. So I thank the Lord for allowing me to be with you once again. I pray to the Lord that he will continue to give all of you good health, spiritual and physical, mental, psychosomatic health, length of days, and much success to the glory of God, to the coming of his kingdom, and to the many, many rich blessings that will continue to be upon all of you because of the fact that you have responded to his agape love. Amen.